No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
This is Nico Collins, and we're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the universe, this is Roster Watch. My name is Alex Dunlap. I'm joined by Cody Carpentier, live from a hotel somewhere, as he's been at Minnesota Vikings camp. We're going to get all the insight from that. We also have some updates to the Roster Watch Dynasty Top 250 that Cody was cleaning up with some updates during his travels and travails. Also, the Ultimate Draft cheat sheets available now at rosterwatch.com have been updated for this weekend of drafts. At the time that we're making this video, I have not uploaded the Superflex cheat sheet, I think version 2.2 or 2.3 yet, up onto the site, but the half point PPR and standard cheat sheet has been updated. The PPR sheet's been updated. We might run a couple simulations here on the show of the Superflex sheet for Cody to see what he thinks or any insight he might have for final tweaks. But I think that thing is humming right now. You do not want to draft without our cheat sheets at rosterwatch.com. Please go over there, get a pro membership today. Rosterwatch.com, get a pro membership. It's the best way. It's really the only way to support us. It really is. It's great that you subscribe to the channel. It's great that you like the show, all that. That's a great way to support us. But to keep the lights on, we need our pro members at Roster Watch. So we're going to be there to help you all season, but it starts with a great draft. Rosterwatch.com. All right. Minnesota Vikings camp, Cody. Let me just peg you with some questions. Do you want to just give an overview, or can I just peg you with a few questions?
I would rather you just ask me questions.
How does J.J. McCarthy look?
Fine.
Not good?
He's fine. He missed a couple throws in, you know, a lot of the stuff, you know, in team is kind of like we've talked about, like who he is, what he is, what he was at Michigan, what he is now in Minnesota. Like, he's going to be a game manager plus because he's got legs. And how fast those legs come along from, you know, his recovery a year ago, I think they're going to be just fine this year. But we're not going to see that really until the games happen. It's hard to really see that in training camp. I think he's going to be a game manager plus. He's not a guy that, you know, some may wish cast to see where he should have been the first overall pick, could have been a first overall pick. You know, he's that talented. Yeah, he's really talented. He's really, I think what it is he's really safe. And I left training camp you know, some buddies were there and I saw them as I was heading out. And I said, you know what he really makes me think of is he's just like a younger, more athletic, better, just as consistent, cheaper Kirk Cousins. And that's fine. That's fine for football purposes. And for fantasy purposes, it can be fine too. You know, we've gotten some, you know, like quarterback 11, 12 seasons out of Kirk Cousins. He's bumped in there. He's giving you some 400-yard games. He's had some fun, you know, some fun games. But it's not something that's going to get you up to QB 4, 5, 6 and into that top-end conversation in fantasy football. Where he's going right now in the 13th, 14th round, he's almost not untouchable, but you just don't need to touch him, especially in 1QB drafts. Superflex, we can talk about that here in a minute, but in like 1QB drafts where he's going after the right around the Dacks and the Goffs and guys like this, it's like, and Purdy's, it's like, it's, you don't need to draft JJ McCarthy in that situation because I think they're going to run a ton of 12 personnel. They're going to run this football, you know, with Aaron Jones and Jordan Mason. Their offensive line is healthy. It's big. You know, Darisaw wasn't in on, you know, Darisaw wasn't even practicing actually yesterday, which I didn't really get a note on that, but I guess I hadn't realized that going in. But I think the overall thought is this, he's going to be just fine for this team, but from a fantasy football perspective, I don't know if he's going to be a guy that averages north of 230, 240 passing yards on any given week.
Okay, well, obviously we're most interested in J.J. McCarthy for super flex, right? Or if you just get to the 14th round in redraft before kickers and defenses and those Dacks, those Purdy's, those types of players are off the board. Do you, I guess
it's J.J. and Drake May, I'm taking J.J.
Okay, so you're taking him over Drake May. What are you taking him? Are you taking him over? What about versus C.J. Stroud or Jordan Love or Trevor Lawrence and stuff?
You know, I wish they would have had a joint. They play Houston this weekend. I wish they would have had a joint practice. That would have been great to see C.J. Next to this just horrendous offensive line in Houston. I think I'm more on the J.J. side of things than C.J. just because of the offensive line. I think you have the number two offensive line in the sport in Minnesota and, you know, a bottom two offensive line in the sport in Houston. And I think that goes a long way. We've talked about this on other shows where it's like, you know, if your offensive line is caving in on a snap by snap basis, especially your interior where the Vikings just spent a grip of money this offseason and draft picks and Donovan Jackson, like they made a point to protect that interior offensive line to make sure JJ had a pocket to step up in. Whereas like, in Houston, what do? They go, well, we have, you know, the bottom three pass protectors. Let's sub out one bottom three pass protector for another bottom three pass protector individually on the interior. And I think you have to lean towards the better offensive line. And I think they're both good quarterbacks.
The main fantasy consideration for J.J. McCarthy is just it pertains to Justin Jefferson and it pertains to Jordan Addison, right? And that's the reason why I kind of prefer him. I prefer the offensive weaponry. I prefer the offensive system. It's a thing where I saw Sam Darnold recreated and made a bunch of money last year. Do you think that McCarthy has the arm to be able to deliver the ball on these just on these deep bombs to Justin Jefferson?
Yeah. He's got the arm strength to get it down there. I just you know, and Darnold's got a good arm, but I don't think it's an elite arm by any means. It's more of a, you know, I feel like I've watched a ton of like Kirk and Darnold the last couple of years in this Minnesota offense, like a lot of floating ball. Case Keenum too was the same way before those guys, like just a lot of floating footballs that like maybe deceptively weren't the strongest showing of arm strength, but it was always able to get there. I think JJ has that same thing, and just his ability, his athleticism in the pocket, I think allows him to kind of get into spaces where he's going to be able to get the ball downfield. They got some good speed. You know, obviously JJ's not practicing right now and Addison's got the 3-game suspension, but even past that, they like Lucky Jackson a lot. They like Jalen Naylor. I tell you what, Jalen Naylor's pretty clear cut to me. I think there's levels to it, too. Obviously, you have your Jefferson.
He's a Yossi Vosh, dude. He's useless.
I don't know if he's useless. I don't know if he's losing. He's only useless because they're going to run a ton of 12 personnel. But for the first 2 weeks, first 3 weeks of the season with no Addison, Naylor's going to be out there. We saw last year from Naylor. I'm not standing here vouching to go draft Naylor. But what I'm saying is the guy looks physically different. I've been up here the last 3 years. I've seen him each of the last 3 years. He's entering his fourth year in the league. He had almost 450 yards last year and 6 touchdowns playing with Addison and Jefferson. And you look at the offense now, it's like, well, Jefferson's entering this. We have to just call a spade a spade. Bayesian process. Jefferson's entering the season with a hamstring injury that they're being smart about. I think he's fine. He was out there throwing balls around, moving around, doing stuff, but he was obviously in, you know, t-shirt and shorts. Addison's going to miss 3 games. So let's say Jefferson's hamstring becomes a thing and he misses a game or 2 games or what, right? Addison's guaranteed to miss 3. Naylor's your number one in that situation.
No, that's
you
true.
You have to view Naylor in a way that I'm telling you, he physically has improved his body. He took a big step forward last year and became a contributor to, you know, the team and had big games or good games, I should say. Not big games, but good games. He had 4 for 76 against Detroit, 3 for 54 against San Fran, caught 6 touchdowns last year. Like, he looks physically better. He looks like he fits the role as number three, and he could play as number two. I'm not telling you he's going to be a lead or anything, but I do think it's a clear tier break between him and the rest of this wide receiver room. But they do, you know, there's a good grip of speed there though, among that room.
All right. And one interesting thing is, so if we know the first 3 games, the first game is tough because they go outdoors at Chicago. That's a bottom 8 matchup for us for opposing wide receivers. But then after that, they're home for 2 weeks in a row versus Atlanta and Cincinnati, both top 8 matchups for us for opposing wide receivers. If Naylor's like 3,500 in DFS, he's probably going to be a good play in week 2 and week 3.
Correct. That's a great call.
Yeah. Okay. So what about Jordan Mason and Aaron Jones? What does that split look like?
We talked about this coming into this, but that was the biggest thing I wanted to see. And I've kind of talked about, you know, I viewed him as like a guy that, you know, there's an outside shot that he could, you know, in this offense. Jordan Mason, yeah. There's an outside shot in this offense that he, you know, is a LeGarrette Blount, Montgomery, who's the other name?
Jamal Williams.
You know, these guys that lead the league in rushing touchdowns. Like, I think there's an outside shot that happens. And I showed up today, the last 2 days, I should say, and I saw him in a role. First off, physically, it was also like Deontay Foreman. And as soon as I saw him, I go, that looks like Deontay Foreman. Like, you just add another.
Is that good or bad these days?
I think it's good.
Yeah.
Like, right? I think it's good. But
Dope Walker Award winner, Deontay Foreman, or are we talking? Yeah.
Physically, I was like, man, this guy, he looks the part. And it's kind of like night and day as far as the lower body looks, because Aaron Jones is so high cut and Mason's so like low to the ground. He's got good calves and big, big butt, and he's not the fastest. The split wasn't great. The split, you know, we heard reports, you know, the last couple of weeks, and that's all you really get right now is reports, but that it was like, oh, it's going to be a 50-50 split, 50-50 this, 50-50 that. The way I saw it, the way I counted snaps, it was closer to like the 70-30. It's closer to a 70-30 in favor of Jones. Huh. And when they would go to shotgun, it was Jones. They would take Mason out. They would start under the center. Mason would be in. They'd go to gun. They'd bring Aaron Jones back in. Even when Mason got to start the series, so they had a whole, you know, they'd run a whole series. He'd be all Aaron Jones, you know, 4 or 5 plays. Then they would go come back around to the first team, and then Mason would be out there, and they'd start under the gun. And then, you know, after 2 plays, they'd go to shotgun, and they'd be in shotgun for the next 3, and Aaron Jones would be in for all 3. It wasn't like Mason didn't get a lot of shotgun opportunities. Even when they were doing drilling in the red zone and into the 10-yard line, they were in the shotgun, they would bring in Aaron Jones, which I thought was interesting. Jones looks good. I think the one thing is a lot of his work the last 2 days was receiving the football. And I guess from a structure standpoint, you know, in drafting teams in the cheat sheet, like, I think both guys have been values. I've definitely gotten more ahead on being like, I think Mason's going to be probably the better value because of the touchdown side of things. I think Aaron Jones is going to be a great value, though.
You just said all this stuff about, like I'm now scared about Jordan Mason, and you're saying you think he's the better value?
The last 3 months, I've thought Jordan Mason was the better value because I saw this coming down the train tracks when they traded the 4th round pick for him back in March. I was like, well, this makes too much sense. They're not drafting a running back. They want Jordan Mason. The guy went for 141 yards a year ago against them in their own building. They clearly went out and had a motive to go get him. And he looks good. I think he's going to be
and you heard what Kevin O'Connell said on Training Camp Live the other day, whenever he was like, you guys don't know what a key part of our offseason plan Jordan Mason was. It's like they came into the offseason with this whole Jordan Mason plan. It wasn't just like some random phone call where, you know, they called, you know, Lynch calls him up. They're like, hey, well, would you be interested in Mason? You know, it's like, no, like that was their guy that they went out and targeted. And to me, it's like, you're talking a 30-70 split, man. That's and down inside the green area, it's not like he was just in there where they were
pounding it. They pounded it, but then they would, like, you know, it's training camp, so they're drilling different things. But
yeah,
they would do when they would go to shotgun. It wasn't Mason; it was Jones.
And the reason, and you have to assume the reason why that, you know, they Aaron Jones isn't a guy that, you know, he's not your head of steam, just get downhill runner, right? So if you go under center, that's where, you know, it's just more typical for the style of running that Jordan Mason does. I mean, I get it, but it's just, how much of this offset shotgun stuff was there? Like a whole ton? Could have just been what they were practicing during those days.
It wasn't a whole ton, but it was enough to, like, you notice it. And they have, and when they would do that, it was always passing stuff. So it was always Aaron Jones running Texas routes. He also ran like this, it was like an option. It was a Texas option that ended up being like a corner post to the pylon. And he made a dope catch right in front of all the fans in the corner of the end zone. And like there's stuff that you can tell is built for Jones down in the red zone area, which, again, as much as we've talked about Mason being that guy that double digit touchdowns, potentially, that's how you get your value out of him, because he's going to get this, you know, 60, 40, 50, 50 split. I still think there's value in that, but we have to look at it with, you know, clear eyes and say, well, Aaron Jones has also been a value. Maybe you haven't been the most bullish on him. Right now in the cheat sheet where I have Aaron Jones plugged in is right around the Pacheco, Tyrone Tracy, Tony Pollard. When I say those names, and Caleb Johnson's on there as well. I know we like Caleb Johnson. You might not love Caleb Johnson. Right around that area, Travion Henderson. We're kind of seeing what Travion Henderson can be. He's going to be in there for the pass protection stuff. He's still got Ramondre next to him, who they like. He's lost 10 pounds. I kind of view it as a similar situation as New England, Travion and Ramondre, Aaron Jones, and Jordan.
You have Ramondre in that category? We
can, no. I'm saying similar situation. Oh. I'm saying you have a pass catching back that you really respect, and then you have a rumbling, bumbling, stumbling between the tackles grinder and a Ramondre and a Jordan Mason. I think you have to look at it from that perspective and say, Aaron Jones is going right around Travion, and I know what Aaron Jones is. Listen, we love Travion, but we know what Aaron Jones is and can do in the NFL. We know he can catch 75 balls, and we know he can also, you know, when he's healthy, be the guy. So I think there's a lot of value in where he's plugged in right now as far as ADP goes, behind Swift, behind Pollard, right around the air. Like I said, Tyrone Tracy, Isaiah Pacheco area. There's value in that for Aaron Jones as well.
No one plans for hair loss. But through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Granger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Granger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRANGER, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Life is a workout. and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
I have Aaron Jones now. I'm looking at the Superflex sheet. So Superflex 2.2, again, go to rosterwatch.com, get a pro membership. You can check out all these cheat sheets and use them. It's like having me and Cody there at your draft. You follow the three simple rules at the top of the sheet of paper that a toddler could follow. An expert quality draft is always going to be guaranteed. I'm looking at where I have him. I have him above the Pachecos and the Pollards and the Caleb Johnsons and stuff so far. I have him more, like you said, with Travion, David Montgomery, RJ Harvey.
You've met a Swift.
I have Swift one spot ahead, and I think that just has to do with the AD, just me having to just do it by ADP. So DeAndre Swift's ADP is two spots ahead of his. So I'd never get DeAndre Swift. I sometimes get Aaron Jones. I often get Jordan Mason. I'm worried now that I'd like to maybe just tamp down a little bit of the Jordan Mason and maybe get, if I get Aaron Jones above DeAndre Swift, at least in Superflex, that would leave me with a cross positional decision of something along the lines of, say, just Aaron Jones versus the guys in the DK Metcalf, Devontae Smith, Jameson Williams, Zay Flowers type of range for wide receiver.
I think in PPR, you can get away with bumping Mason down and Jones up. In half, I have to stay where I'm at on Mason, maybe a spot.
Well, I test the super flex sheet in half. But that Aaron Jones role sounds appealing to me.
I like it. I'm saying that was more than anybody that I wanted to go in there and see Jordan Mason just be the alpha dog of this whole thing.
Yeah.
And you know, bring my take to fruition and have him be a 20 touchdown guy. I've tampered back on, I don't know if you know, the leading the league in touchdowns is really in the realm, but I do think they love him. And I do think they respect him. But when I see, when I see them go to Aaron Jones and shotgun in the red zone, I'm like, eh. And when I see the split closer to 70-30 than 50-50, I'm like, eh. And when I see Aaron Jones looking healthy, running around spry, I go, eh.
Yeah.
Because I remember last year, you have it stuck in your head, and it's like, this guy's got his, you know, he starts all these games, but then he's out in the second quarter with his hamstring wrapped up. He's got his calf wrapped up. He's got a shoulder problem. He's got all these injuries mid game. Yeah. You forget about it. But when he's healthy, you know, Aaron Jones is, you know.
The other thing with Mason is that Jones will get banged up in season. Yeah. We'll get a couple of weeks where we're having to rank him. We're having to rank Jordan Mason top 10. All right. It wouldn't even matter if Justin Jefferson was there. You know, it's like nothing he could do at practice would make me think he's not awesome. I don't know. Like, you have anything on the wide receivers or TJ Hawkinson, or do you want to go to the dynasty stuff? Any fantasy relevant takeaways, or do you
Hawkinson looks like Hawkinson, big as ever, athletic as ever. Who's healthy on the field. Josh Oliver is like in his shadow in his back pocket. I think that's interesting from a, you know, week by week, injury by injury perspective. I think that they're going to run a ton of 12 personnel like they always have, especially with JJ in this offensive line. They're going to run the ball, and it's going to be a lot of Hawkinson and Oliver out there. I think Hawkinson had 46 catches last year, only played in 10 games. You go back 2 years ago in this Kevin O'Connell offense, he had 95 or 94 receptions. Like, Hawkinson, if he's healthy, can be that guy, but I'm not sure if I trust it from that perspective of the picture of health with Hawkinson. He looks great. Everything always looks great with Hawkinson, but that'd be where I'm at there. Anything else in the receivers? I would say there was no Jefferson. There was no Rondell Moore. And like I said before, like past Addison, it's a tear break to Naylor. Past Naylor, it's a tear break down to the rest of these guys. The Lucky Jacksons, the Tim Joneses, the Silas Boldens of the world. For DFS this week, I would say before we get off the Vikings, you know, Ty Chandler is running with the second team. He's the third back that comes off the room. After that, it's Trey Stewart. Trey Stewart's a rookie from Jacksonville State. That dude's got burst. That dude's got some eyes. He's got some burst. He's a little guy, but Ty Chandler struggled. And I think it's obvious why they obviously went out and got Mason. They wanted Chandler to be a guy last year. He wasn't. He's now on the second team. This might sound stupid, but because everyone knows Ty Chandler's name and they don't know Trey Stewart's name, but Trey Stewart outproduces him these three preseason games. People will start to know that Trey Stewart name in the DFS circles and the fantasy circles and things like that. Not saying it's going to mean anything for a long-term perspective, but I'm talking strictly DFS preseason right now. I think Silas Bolden will get opportunities. I think they really want to see Lucky Jackson get a lot of targets. So those would be
Lucky Jackson's always Mr. Offseason. So yeah, but the whole Trey Stewart thing, that'll be interesting. We'll see if there's any kind of prize picks or underdog pick'em lobby action with him. If they give him some kind of 19.5 rushing yards, like, would you take the more?
Yes. Yeah. I was looking on. I was like, man, I think this kid's going to get, you know, like the whole second half of carries.
Okay. So who's the biggest dynasty mover in your latest update?
So I just did an update. While I was in the air yesterday, flying into 2 days ago, flying into Minnesota. My biggest dropper this week was Isaac Garendo, the running back for San Fran. Talked about him a little bit with the Dearness Johnson, those guys.
Did I ask Dr. Chow about him yesterday? I had him on my list. I don't think I asked him.
He did not. Yeah. So Garendo was one of the biggest fallers. I brought Quinshon down, Judkins down. I was kind of just holding Pat. Trashman and I both have him like right around 25, 27 overall in the Dynasty Top 250. I moved him down to 51. I'm going to wait another week, and I'll probably drop him again if we don't get some positivity there. From that perspective, drop Najee about 20 spots. He's right outside the top 100 now, age 27. Again, no clear sight of what's going to happen with Najee over the course of the next couple of weeks. Biggest risers, I would say, you know, I made this update before the Eagles game last night, and I bumped AJ Dillon up quite a grip because we heard how much he was getting worked in camp. And then, of course, Shipley rips off that long run last night. Shipley looks, you know, like if you just looked at that thing from like,
man, how can, after all I've told you, you're going to move up, grew up AJ Dillon so much.
Let me explain to you the AJ Dillon move. First off, yesterday when you watch that Shipley run, he broke off, I don't know what it was, 40 or 50. You watch it from across the room, like 30 feet away from you on a TV. You're like, oh, it looks like Saquon.
Yeah. Oh, what?
It kind of looked like Saquon, like getting bend, hit the edge and stuff. Not saying he's Saquon, but AJ Dillon moved him up quite a grip to 236. He wasn't in the top 250. That's okay. The reason he got moved up so much. I had previously moved the biggest notable name was I moved Jaxon Smith-Njigba down, moved him down five spots. I love Jaxon Smith-Njigba, but I kind of came to it. I moved him below the Bijan Gibbs, Brock Bowers.
That's perfect. He should be behind those guys.
I know he should be, but that's just been like one of my things. I've had him up there. And I just haven't – this Seattle thing's kind of been underwhelming for me the last couple of weeks.
All right. You know what hasn't been underwhelming is these mock simulations that I've been running for the Superflex version 2.0, Superflex 2.2. This was the manual set of testing number 4. And this it looks like they gave us the 12 here. So this draft went, for those on the podcast feed, it went Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Jaden Daniels, Bijan Robinson, Jalen Hurts, Joe Burrow, Saquon Barkley, Jamar Chase, Patrick Mahomes, Baker Mayfield, Justin Jefferson. And so I'm picking on the turn here in this one. And I really like the way that these have been going, but I test these a lot. It feels like if you pick in the first first five or six picks, you're always going to be good at quarterback, right? Because you get to take one of the elite studs, right? Because what the cheat sheet does is it'll instruct you to go with the first four picks. It'll instruct you to go, you know, what the order is not important, but it'll tell you to go Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Jaden Daniels, Jalen Hurts, right? And then whenever you get to the fifth pick, you'll have a choice between Bijan, Jamar Chase, and Joe Burrow, right? To where it's like you kind of want to – it starts getting tough there, right? But yep. You can at least don't feel like you're you know, you still have some stability there with the quarterback and stuff. It's whenever you get to these spots like this, wherever you don't start out, sometimes it can get a little bit weird and hairy with quarterbacks. And so I tend to test the back half of these things a little bit more to make sure that nobody gets stuck in quarterback purgatory. So that's why this one was just up from the 12. So this is a great start, though. The cheat sheet says to take Jahmyr Gibbs and CeeDee Lamb back to back. So we'll take those two. This is weird. Generally around this spot at the 312 and the 401, I'm more used to actually getting these kind of Ladd McConkey type of players. There's Ladd, there's, JSN is who I often get around here, but Josh Jacobs and Jonathan Taylor have fallen. This is interesting to me because the sheet has not been trending very running back, super running back heavy early, but I trust it. And I'm just going to go ahead and double tap here. Josh Jacobs and Jonathan Taylor. We'll see what happens.
Oh my gosh.
It's going even more running back heavy. Getting a little bit nervous, but again, I trust the cheat sheet. I think it's going to come through.
We can take JJ here, can't we?
Yeah, but we have two picks. So we take James Conner and JJ.
Oh, that's right.
Okay, James Conner, JJ McCarthy at the 601. All right, here's the cheat sheet coming through. We already have CeeDee Lamb with the 712, 801. We take Xavier Worthy and Zay Flowers. Now my worry about it being running back heavy is gone. We have the next one here at the 912, 1001. It says to take Jaden Blue. Get a little quarterback worried here, but we'll see. I think I have things built in to help. Jaden Blue and Juwan Jennings. Yes. At the 11-12 turn, we get to take – we have the pleasure of taking our second quarterback, our super flex, Matthew Stafford, and Emeka Egbuka, who if you listen to Byron's analysis from Bucks camp, which is up on the site right now from the Bucks-Tennessee Titans joint practice on Thursday, he talks more about Emeka Egbuka there in that one. So we'll take him here. And the final couple of picks here, we have a choice between Jaden Higgins and Sam Darnold. I'm taking Sam Darnold just in case something happens here with Matthew Stafford. So the quarterbacks will be J.J. McCarthy, Matthew Stafford, and Sam Darnold. And then with the 14th pick, it'll be whatever tight end is highest up on the sheet, which is Dalton Kincaid, because we needed to fill our tight end spot. So that team is J.J. McCarthy at quarterback, and then the super flex of Matt Stafford and Sam Darnold. The running backs are Jahmyr Gibbs, Josh Jacobs, Jonathan Taylor, James Conner, Jaden Blue. The wide receivers are CeeDee Lamb, Xavier Worthy, Zay Flowers, Juwan Jennings, Emeka Egbuka. The tight end is Dalton Kincaid. Cody, hot dang, son. The thing's on fire. I think it's going to give us a good grade. If it gives us
anything. 90 flat.
Dude, this feels like a 96 or something to me. Yeah, but we'll see. Let's auto-draft a kicker and a defense, and we'll see what they say. 93. Okay. Well, still, it's an A. The thing's running good. It's running hot. We certainly want you to go check it out. We want to be able to help you this season. We want to be able to not only help you draft the best team, but also help you with your trades, help you with your waiver wire, help you with your DFS stuff, with your pick'em games and your player props. We want to be able to let you know everything that you need to know as far as the snap counts, the touches, the targets, trash man's flex rankings, our rankings, everything you need to know, man. We're there to help you, and we're gonna have the sit start thread and the sit start stream where, you know, at the last minute, you don't know who to start. You have your boys, man. You got Cody, you got Alex, you got Trash Man, you got Byron standing by, ready to answer any question that you could possibly have. And you get all of this, and you support us by getting a pro membership at rosterwatch.com.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.